My daughter Abby had some of these childhood warts, you know, that come out on kids' fingers and stuff. So finally my wife said, honey, I'm gonna take you to the doctor and he's gonna squirt that Freon on, just freeze the thing, because that worked. So she made like an appointment for next Friday. That night we said, honey, let's just pray that God remove these. Well, we prayed. The next morning, this is a true story, Abby came up and said, Mom, look, the wart's gone. My wife said, no, cannot, because we have an appointment next Friday to take it off.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, part two of a message entitled, Turning Grief into Joy. Pastor Wayne will show us that we cannot always control our happiness, but it is possible to live a life filled with joy. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Turning Grief into Joy.
He said, well, what are some of the ways that you can look for His presence and at least know that His presence is here? Here's one of the things I encourage people to do. Would you let that which is eternal, would you write it in your bullet there? Let that which is eternal define the temporal or the temporary. Let that which is eternal define the temporary. Don't let the temporary define the eternal. God, it's raining, so obviously you don't care about us. No. God cares about us even though it's raining. But sometimes we take the temporary and we redefine what is immutable, unchangeable. Instead of taking that which is immutable and unchangeable and let it define that which is. I was doing a wedding just the other day, Friday. And the wedding, in the wedding, the bride and groom. The bride and groom was a different wedding. Come on, the bride and the groom. The bride and groom come together and they give their vows to one another that they'll love each other forever, you know. And then we get the rings and I explain what the rings are not. They're not signs of ownership. I say this goes on her finger, not in her nose. And so it's a sign not of ownership, because if she's owned by anybody, she's owned by her creator. Always has, always will be. Then what are these rings? These rings are signs to remind you every day that regardless of the scoreboard and regardless of the circumstance, you are loved by somebody very much. And that is a lifetime commitment. Those circumstances that you're in are temporary or temporal. So you always let that which is eternal redefine that which is temporary. You never let that which is temporary redefine that which is eternal. Let that remind you of that. For example, if you're sitting there waiting for your wife because she's late again, you never say, well, she must not love me or really care about me because look, she's late. No, you start the other way around, the eternal first. I know she cares about me and I know she loves me. That's established. Therefore, there must be heavy traffic or something, but I'll buy her a time management, you know, book or whatever, but we'll deal with that. But you never say, she must not love me because look. No, that's established. You always use that which is established to redefine the temporary. You never let the temporary redefine that which is established. And I said to the lady, to the bride, I said, there's going to be times you're going to see his socks on the floor and his BBDs hanging on the chair. And you're going to go, oh, man, he must not love me because look. No. You start with the eternal and you let that redefine the temporal. No, I know he loves me. Even though I'm frustrated, I know he loves me and I know he cares. So that is established. So we'll deal with this. We'll get him therapy or put him on medication or something. But I know he loves me and I know he cares. You never flip it around. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, and don't ever say, well, he obviously doesn't love me because look. No, that's established. When you can establish that and use the eternal to define the temporary, you'll have the beginnings of converting grief into joy again and again and again. And it's not a giddy joy. It's a firm, established conviction that we'll be all right. We can work it through. You understand what I'm saying? Very important. And that's why we'll see in the scriptures about holding fast to the confession of our faith. Let's read this next scripture. Go. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Yeah, underline, hold fast the confession of our hope. Don't let it go. Don't waver. Make sure you got a hold of the eternal and with it define everything else. You say, but wait a minute. What if we're painted into a corner? I lose my job. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm done. What do I do? What do I look for? Would you write down in number two, look for options that tell you what you can do, not what you cannot. You see, discouragement comes when you think you no longer have any options. Never run out of options. Yeah, but I lost my job. You can go back to school. Yeah, but I lost my house. You can live in a tent down there in Ala Moana. A whole bunch of my friends do. It's all right. It's all right. There's options. You never run out of options. Please, please hear me carefully. In life, you're going to think you run into a dead end. But here it is. Never run out of options. 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 Never. I cannot emphasize that overly. I gotta get you to catch that. Because you see, one of the greatest killers in America, guess what it is? Suicide. You know why? You know why suicide is one of our greatest killers? Is because you come to a point when you run out of options. There's no other option. Boom. Or you take pills. You end it all. Because somewhere along the line, the devil duped you. The devil deceived you into thinking there are no options left. Listen, there's always an option. Always an option. I don't have any money. Go on food stamps. Yeah, but I don't want to. Then go get some, you know, help. Someone will help you. But where do I go? I can help. Come with you. There's always a way. No, never say, well, I can't do it. That's it. I'm finished. No, there's always an option. I'll figure out a way. Never let the doors close, because if you think there are no options, you even shut the door on God's miracles. There's no option. No, God says, I'll give you a miracle. No, no options. That's it. You understand? You actually close the door on God when you don't think there are any other options left. And you don't want to do that. There's always a way. There's always another option. I don't care if it looks dark, dark, dark. There's always an option. I'll figure it out. Yeah, but you're going to die. That's fine. The option is I can die and be with Jesus forever. That's an option. But there, I let my spirit stay strong. And I make sure that the door stays open. Some time ago, my daughter Abby had some of these childhood warts, you know, that come out on kids' fingers and stuff. And we tried everything. We tried, you know, Compound W, Compound H, whatever you call it, Preparation H, I don't know. But we put all kinds of stuff on that, masking tape, glues, you know, super glue, and nothing was working. So finally my wife said, honey, I'm going to take you to the doctor, and he's going to squirt that Freon on, just freeze the thing, because that works. Free, your whole arm falls off, but you get rid of the warts. So we're just going to freeze them. So she made like an appointment for next Friday. But that night we said, honey, let's just pray. Let's just pray that God remove these. Well, we prayed. The next morning, this is a true story, Abby came up and said, Mom, look, the wart's gone. I said, whoa, it is. Look at that, honey. My wife said, no, cannot. How come? Because we have an appointment next Friday to take it off. I said, what? Oh, no. I mean, we're going to cancel the appointment Friday. That's right. What is this? Cannot have no miracles today because we got an appointment with the doctor tomorrow. I just thought that was crazy. But I looked at that and I thought, you know, I wonder if we're like that sometimes when we say there's no options left. So God says, but I can do it. No, cannot. No, there's no options left. No options. There's always an option. Always. Never run out of options. Never, never. And even if the enemy wants to come against you, God can turn it around for good. Let's read what it says in Genesis 50 and verse 20. Go. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God says even the devil might come against you. I can turn it around for good. Easy. If you keep options open. And the Lord says, so just stay true. Just do as I tell you. Don't bail out. Don't close all the doors. And this is what he says in Romans 8. Let's read it together. Go. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His. He says, keep doing what you're doing. Do what I tell you to do. Don't bail out. And I'll turn it around. He said, but Wayne, what if I lose stuff? I lose my job. I lost it. Mm-hmm. There's always an option. But you can always convert that into something higher, a more luscious fruit than even an orange. What? Would you write down number 3? You can convert pain into wisdom. Convert pain into wisdom. Do you know how much suffering we have gone through in our lifetimes? Just think, if every time you go through suffering, every time you go through pain, if it turns into wisdom, if we could do that with every time we've suffered, do you know how smart we would be today? But a lot of times we're no smarter, no wiser. Why? Because we've never converted even pain into wisdom. And if you don't do that, you are destined to repeat it. I heard the story of this Portuguese guy that came into this travel agency. And what he didn't know was it was a scam travel agency. And it said, cruise around the islands, $150. He said, whoa, that's pretty good. And the guy said, give me $150. He gave him the $150. And then he turns around and the guy takes a bat and kaboom, conks him on the head. Boom, he's out. The next time he gets up, he's floating off Diamond Head in a 55-gallon barrel in the middle of the ocean. And he thought, is this the cruise? And he looks, and there's a rope tied to another barrel right next to him, and another Portuguese guy's in there. And he goes, oh, looks over, and realizing this whole thing was a scam, he goes, oh. He said, hey, you must have bought the same cruise I did. And the second Portuguese goes, yeah, me too, yeah, I got the same one. He said, well, I might as well make the best of it. No, we'll probably be out here for a few days. Did they pack any food? The second guy goes, last month when I took this cruise, they never. You better learn. And if you don't, you're destined to repeat it. But you can learn wisdom from pain. Listen carefully. Some of us have paid dearly for certain decisions that we've made foolishly. Isn't that right? Some of us have paid dearly with relationships that have been lost, funds that have been lost, jobs, positions that have been lost because of foolish decisions. Listen, let me tell you something that's worse than paying so dearly for a lesson. And it is not learning the lesson. Think about it. You can sit there and complain because, oh, the tuition to this class is so expensive. Oh, you know what's worse than paying expensive tuition? Is flunking the class after you paid high tuition. And we do that all the time. We pay dearly for a mistake, and then we flunk the lesson, and we don't learn anything. With the amount of suffering that I've gone through and you've gone through, we should be a lot wiser. Otherwise, we're destined to repeat it. And so one of the best things to do is convert grief and pain into wisdom. Jesus did that. Let's read what it says here in Hebrews 5:8. Go. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things which he... You see, here's God's highest design. Conversion, that he touches your heart, your life, and you're converted, or you're saved, or you become a Christian. And that which was going south fast is converted, and now God begins to redeem you. But he doesn't only convert you, he puts his thumbprint on you and makes you a converter. That when things come into your life that are bad, you can convert it into something that's good. He says that. What's meant evil for you, I'll turn it around for good, and it'll happen in you. And the things that are meant for bad, he'll work all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so his design is for it to continue in your life, that every single one of us will have the capacity to turn grief into joy. And when you do, by seeing his presence, by staying true to what he's called you to do, by learning wisdom from the pain, people will look at you and say, you know, there's a strength about his life. There's a strength about her life. I don't know where it comes from, but I believe it's a divine gift because look at the situation she's in and there's a strength. That's amazing. And the Bible says this, that when you turn grief into joy, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And so it continues. Let's look what Acts says about the early church. Would you read this with me? The final one. Go. The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Would you circle that? Being saved. There's some people that are saved back then, but there's many that I know that are being saved every day. Oh, sure, it started back then, but it continues. They were converted, but they're still being converted. They're converted, but there's things happening through which conversion is taking place. These people are refreshing. I've talked to some people that were saved back in 1970, and the church back then was better than it is today. And then I see other people that are being saved still. You know, I was talking to the Lord this morning, really, yeah, in my devotions, and He was telling me something about this. He's dealing with me in this area. Why God is teaching me about this. I'm learning this as a husband. They are so refreshing to be around because they're not just saved, they are being saved. They're not just converted. There's conversion taking place. And when you see that, there's a strength about that that you can't put your finger on, but it'll be the joy of the Lord. Let me finish with an illustration that I think I told before, but it bears telling again. And it's a story about a mother who has a son that's about 8 or 9 years old, who's bored with his piano lessons. Well, this great Ignace Jean Paderewski is coming to town in Eastern Europe, and she figures that if her son could go to one of his concerts and hear the concert of this master, why he would be more interested in piano lessons. So she drags this fidgety young boy to the concert hall, puts him there in the seat, and it was about 10 more minutes before the concert began. And on this beautiful stage, simple but clean, was an ebony black grand Steinway piano. Under a pin spotlight that highlighted the ivory keys, and right in front of it was a tufted black leather stool, idly standing by, waiting for the touch of the master. The fidgety boy was trying to get out of his seat, and the mother would pull him back down, and he'd get up again, and she'd pull him back down. Finally, as she talked to her friends, she turned around just for a second and realized he's gone. He escaped. She's looking for him, and to her horror, she sees him climbing up the stage, making his way to the piano. Everybody's eye is on this mischievous boy, wondering whose mother, whose dad this kid belonged to. Well, he makes his way to the stool and sits on it and begins to play the only song he knows, Chopsticks. Well, everyone is thinking, who kid is this? Just then the master, Paderewski, begins to deduce what's going on, and he strides, full stride, right onto the stage, walks right up to the back of the little boy, and quietly says to him, just don't stop playing. Keep going. To that little boy. And with his left hand reaching around one side and his right hand on the other, he begins to fill in the running obligatos. He begins to put in the treble fills and all the triplets, all the 16ths, 32nd notes. And he begins to fill it in as he's playing Chopsticks. Dun 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 dun. Like, whoa, this is pretty good. But when it was done, the people arose and burst into a thunderous applause. And he picked this little boy up, put him on the stool, and said, let's bow. And they bowed together. And everyone was so filled with cheers and joy and exuberance, but no one came close to the thankfulness and appreciation that was in that mother's heart. How thankful she was that that master came out, and what could have been a destructive thing, he turned it into a divine concert. And what was a mistake, he, with his presence and his instruction, converted it into a miracle. And that It's the same thing that God offers to you and to me. With His presence, as you keep doing what He's told you to do and hold fast to that which is eternal, His presence will fill in the running obligados. He'll fill in the top. And what was to be a mistake will become a miracle. And what could have destroyed becomes the fruit of a divine touch. God is able to do that. Will you let Him do that through you? You can do it. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so very much for a wonderful church where we're learning how You are the one who creates conversion machines, converters, as it were. You did that in Your creation. We see that all around us. And we in our lives have been touched by Calvary and the cross. We've been converted, but we are now also with Your thumbprint, Your fingerprints on us, converters, that we can convert grief into joy. And when that happens, that's a strength. There's a strength in our life that many people are missing because we don't understand that divine design, that divine genetic that You placed in us. That's Your modus operandi. That's Your DNA to convert stuff. And You've put that into our hearts, and we get to do the same. You've given us the capacity to do that. So, Lord, may we comply with Your design and begin to look for Your presence. Help us to define that which is temporary by that which is eternal. Help us to convert pain into wisdom every time. And as we know, Lord, that Your presence is near, we know that we'll be just fine. We'll never run out of options, Lord, and we'll leave the doors open for the miraculous. With your heads bowed, some of you might be saying, you know, Wayne, I need to take that first step in conversion where I am converted. Where His presence, where the Lord comes into my heart. Because if you're talking about His presence, I need His presence in my life. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. To say, Lord, come into my heart. Change my life. I need to be converted. So that You can take a life that's muddled with the past, soiled sin of our yesterdays, and convert us into a bright tomorrow through the hope that You give us in Christ Jesus. Lord, that's what we want. Well, that requires you to simply say yes to His invitation to come and receive forgiveness, to come to Calvary, to come to the cross. And when you come to Him and say, Lord, I'll exchange my sorrows for Your joys, my sin for Your future, Lord, I want to receive You as my Lord and Savior. It begins with that. And if you've never made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, accept Him as Lord and Savior, if that's you and you say, that's what I want to do right now, would you raise a hand? And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus right now. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. You too. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. You too on the side. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. In the back. All right. Okay. You can put your hands down. And if you're someone here to say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian. I have been converted, but I'm terrible at converting stuff. Because sometimes when I think it's a dead end, it's a dead end. Things aren't going well. I fall so quickly. I succumb. I surrender to stuff way too easily. I'm a victim. I'm not a converter. But I know that I need strength in my life. And Lord, would You give that to me so that I can convert grief into joy? And what would have been devastating, I can turn it into a stepping stone. Lord, would You help me on that? If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yep, Lord, would You help me? I'm willing to receive that help, that capacity. Yeah, yeah. Let's all pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that You came and You died for my sins, that I might be converted and redeemed. I turn from my sins. I turn to You. And I accept You as my Lord and Savior. Give me the strength of the Lord so that I can convert grief into joy. And now I say this so everyone hears, so I can hear myself, so you can hear me, and the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ for the first time.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Turning Grief into Joy by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Until next time, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.